I'll bet against a better team at home. I don't care who died.
Free massages. Oh, at least
I can say athletes one more time.
You can't say stuff like this on podcasts, all right?
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Monday, January 25th, 2010. I'm your host, Adam Berry. Back in the studio, I've made it safely to and from Arkansas. And joining me today, one football writer who has already made the trip with me through the natural state, Kyle Maestri.
Glad to have you back.
And one, fortunately, who will, I hope for your sake, you will never have to go through the natural state.
I've been told not to make any racist statements.
What? How is that related at all, Bobby?
I don't know. I just wanted to tell the listeners that I will not be making any more today.
Yeah, that's the thing. The kids are no
it was
longer
all in anymore. Joke. If you didn't pick it up last,
the kids are no longer running the show. Daddy is back in town to keep things calm. Bobby will not be talking about the all-white basketball league today, unless it's in reference to Chandler Parsons, which he may or may not slip into.
That's where his future is.
But let me tell you, we've got a lot to talk about on today's show. If there's one thing we have, it's a lot to talk about on today's show.
Don't listen to him. All right. Turn off now.
We're going to talk about Urban Meyer, some of the recent news that's come out about him related to recruiting as well. We're going to talk some Florida men's basketball since I've spent so much of my life traveling to cover that recently. And we're going to also give out our weekly awards, and we may or may not talk about more. We'll see where it goes from here. So let's start off with the Urban Meyer stuff. Kyle, do you just want to explain what's happened recently since you're so excited about this story?
No. It's not news to me. Like, I know it's news to everyone else. It's important, supposedly. But Urban Meyer said that he's going to be the coach for spring practice. He's going to be ready to go, man in the ship. But, I mean, I just saw this coming the whole time. I don't know. I mean, he didn't even stop recruiting. Yeah. He didn't even stop recruiting right after the season was over. And, like, he kept saying he thinks he'll be back for the start of the season. All the recruits were saying that they were told that. So, to me, it was, like, it was confirmation, I guess. But it definitely wasn't surprising to me.
Yeah. The leave of absence is going to extend from, what, like, February 4th to... What, April, the end of March? Like, what is it?
No, not even. Yeah. A little bit earlier than that. I mean, yeah, it was, you know, everyone kind of foresee this coming, but I still find this ridiculous. He's, you know, he takes, what, like, I guess it's been 2-3 weeks, or I guess 4 weeks since the panic, I'm resigning, I'm done as the coach, I can't take it anymore, my health is just too much. But now he's had 4 weeks of eating better and relaxing, he's back, he's ready to go, he can feel it, it's inside of him, he's healthy now after 4 weeks.
Yeah, he said he's eating a lot, he's put on weight again or whatever, he's feeling good, he's still doing a bunch of medical tests. But then somebody asked him, like, you know, can you take the time off? He's like, oh, I did that for like 2 or 3 days. Can't handle it. So it's like all the stuff about taking the time off. It's all very suspect to me. I don't know how I feel about it, but
I don't care anymore. I'm done. I'm done caring. It's a matter between him and his family at this point. Like, he's here for the foreseeable future. The only people who should be like upset or have questions for him are his family at this point. It's like, you know, are you healthy or not? And he could be making a bad decision for his family life, but as far as we're concerned, as reporters or fans or whatever, I just don't care anymore. There's no more news relevancy to me. He's back. He never left. Nothing happened. There are no consequences. We don't have to address any repercussions. What could happen if Steve Adazio is left in charge for a little bit? Because none of that's happening. Yeah. So.
Gators fans can now take a nice big, you know, sigh of relief knowing that Steve Adazio will have no part in being a head coach for the Florida Gators.
One thing I take away from this is that Urban Meyer is extremely jealous of Billy Donovan. Extremely jealous. Think about it. He won exactly 2 titles. He tanked it purposely in the SEC championship game. Urban Meyer, does he ever get out-coached? Huh? Just think. He couldn't win a third. He wanted to be just like Billy. What else did Billy have on him? A fake leave from the university.
That's true. See? And he made this announcement at a basketball game. He just had to steal Billy's thunder.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, this is all panning out perfectly.
Yeah. When he says they're, quote, good friends, end quote, he means they're bitter enemies.
Keep your friends close. Enemies closer.
I stick to it. If I'm Shelly Meyer or any of his kids, I'm pretty upset at this. You know?
Yeah.
He tells them, like, you know, he went through the whole thing where at one point someone asked him, like, why not, like, why lie about the 911 call? Why lie that, like, you know, that you went in for sort of chest pains when it was really, like, or that it was dehydration that he said he went in for, not chest pains. It was because he didn't want to scare anyone or frighten anyone. But instead, he resigns and says, like, my health concerns are too great, and then goes right back to coaching. If I'm his family, I'm somewhat, I mean, I'm going to be supportive of his decision, but still, like, you know, you're going to not want to scare us about that. Then scare us that your health is too, like, is too, like, poor to keep coaching. And then go right back to coaching. I'm not very happy if I'm his family.
I'd say he never left. So it's like, it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if he didn't even take a leave of absence after National Signing Day. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he just stayed on.
I mean, what is there to do? I mean, there's some recruiting for the next one, kind of preparing yourself for spring practice, but there's not much going on in between National Signing Day and spring practice. It's a great time to take a leave of absence. You know, when nothing's going on and you don't have to leave anybody in charge of anything.
It's a great time for Steve Addazio to take the helm. Just run the... Man the boat while there's nothing going on. Like, Steve, got a lot to take care of today.
Steady the boat.
That's what Steve Addazio is going to be doing.
That's what he's great at. He's great at steadying the boat. So that's why Urban left him in charge, because he knew when he was gone, if there's one man that can steady the boat, it's Steve Addazio. They didn't just come off the banana boat.
That's true.
The pickle boat.
Oh, the pickle boat.
They may or may not have come off the banana boat. We're not sure. We don't have confirmation. Steve Addazio didn't confirm or deny that. He just said they didn't come off the pickle boat. Yeah. So.
We can get that.
That's all
we
did for sure. There are a lot of other options of folks that could have come off of.
That's true. But other Urban Meyer stuff. This one was an old story, Kyle, that you brought up before the show about Sheriff Floyd, the recruit, the God story, I believe, as I've been calling it.
The defensive tackle recruit. He's number one defensive tackle in the nation. He was the MVP of the Under Armour game.
No, that was wrong. That right? Wasn't it?
No, yeah. He was Under Armour game was then? Dominic Easley, and the Army game where Sheriff Powell was playing. That
Sheriff
was Ronald Powell.
Sheriff Floyd was
Sheriff Floyd. Yeah, okay. Powell.
So I lied.
There's so many names I can't keep them straight.
I lied. I thought I must have confused him and Easley. Easley's also a defensive.
Yes, defense player. And defensive tackle. Okay. They're not sure.
All right. Okay. So
he's my perfect example of a small defensive end that could
now,
be a defense
now that
tackle.
I've removed all credibility from myself, I'll proceed with my story. Anyway, as the story goes, his high school coaches said that. You know, Sheriff was on the fence. He wasn't sure if he was going to go to Ohio State, was one of the big contenders, or Florida. The whole Urban Meyer thing was happening. And Urban Meyer called him on the phone. This is all allegedly. These are only rumors. And said that he had a dream where he was coaching Sheriff from the sidelines, and they were, like, winning a national championship or something. And he was just saying, like, you know, if I'm going to die, then there's no place I'd rather be than coaching you on the sidelines when it happens, or something like that. And, like, took it as, like, a saying that it was a sign from God that he was supposed to come there. And then Sheriff Floyd allegedly had some quote where he was, like, the gist of it was, like, Ohio State's cool and all, but Urban Meyer said he would die for me. So that's a rumor. You could take it for what it's worth. A lot of people, like, obviously who don't like the Gators were, like, killing Meyer for it. Like, oh, how could he say this to a recruit? And then, you know, all Gators fans are saying how untrue it is.
Yeah.
And I guess Floyd's gone on record as saying, like, it never happened.
Yeah, Floyd denied it.
Right.
I think his coach might have as well.
Right, but nobody's going to confirm that rumor. Like, there's no way. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. Urban's like, yeah.
That's the usual pitch. I use that on all of the top guys. If there's one thing I know about them, they love God, and they will come to me if I tell them God's telling me stuff.
So... But the whole thing, I wrote a column on it last week, to me is just, like, recruiting so dirty and underhanded and slimy on both sides that I just really laugh at stories like these. Like, I don't care about the validity of it or not, because we're never going to know if it was true or not. So I'd rather just take it, you know, as a funny story that happened from all things. And if you're a recruit, if you're one of those people who are like, oh, Urban Meyer shouldn't have said that. That's so – how could he stoop that level, whatever. Recruits should know, like, at this point, that coaches will say anything to get them on campus, absolutely anything. And by the other end, it's like recruits also deceive coaches just as much. So I don't know. The whole recruiting process to me is ridiculous, and this is just a ridiculous story that either somebody made up to, you know, attack Urban Meyer's character, or that actually happened. Either way, it's ridiculous.
I was going to say, either way, the fact that we're talking about it and, like, not completely ruling it out as possible just shows how ridiculous recruiting is. Like, oh, that could be true. Like,
I
believe it.
Actually, I mean, it's really ridiculous. And if you're covered in recruiting, I feel sorry for you for having to deal with them. But I love it when the players play back, or, you know, play the game with them. When they one of my favorites is Patrick Johnson, now Patrick Peterson of LSU. At one point, he silently committed – to Florida, North Carolina, LSU, and Miami. He was committed to all four at the same time. It was really impressive. Wow. And I'm pretty sure the move was, I'm tired of these coaches calling me every day. I'm just going to say I'm committed, and they're going to back off a little bit. Mm. And then just go to wherever I wanted to. But I just thought it was really impressive that he just was going everywhere and just like, yeah, I'm coming. Like, don't you worry, coach. I'll be there. And then just like, you know, he ended up going to LSU, obviously. But it's just fun when they play the game with the coaches. Because you know the coaches are lying to you. The Jevon Snead being told that Tebow was going to play linebacker. Right. Well, you know, that's another great one. It's just fun for what the coaches are willing to say to get them there. When you tell, like, when you can convince a top running back to come to Florida, clearly they're not being told, like, hey, we don't really have a defined back in our system. But with you, you will be that guy.
Yeah.
You're going to – what. When you come in, Tebow out the window. He's not. We won't use him at all. You're the guy. Like I just, it's just great when they're telling the kids that they're the guy and they're not. They're just going to be thrown into the system.
Yeah, yeah. The coaches are salesmen when it comes to this kind of stuff, which is also fitting. Why I found it fitting that Meyer made this address to the media or whatever with Ronald Powell, Matt Elam, who were the other recruits in the Neil O'Connell Center for that as well.
I think the only other one might have been Michael McFarland.
Okay, yeah, those three were like right there next to him. He was like chilling with them throughout the whole game. And then he made that speech. It's like, oh, it's going to be comforting to them and comforting to anybody else he's pursuing at this point late in the recruiting process. So, like you said, they'll say anything to get people on campus. So
I just want to know what he said to Emmanuel Moody to get him to come here.
Emmanuel,
exactly what I just said.
Yeah, exactly. Emmanuel, you know what? We're going to become a power running team, and you are going to be the guy. You're going to be the focus. Come away from USC. Come to Florida. That worked out well.
Emmanuel Moody's not a power back. He's just only a power back because he's compared to the other two. If you watch any tape of him, even before Florida, he's not a power back. He will lower his shoulder occasionally, but he doesn't like running up the middle. He likes going to the outsides. But He definitely was told he was going to be the feature back. Mm. The offense would revolve around you. We can't win without you. And they didn't.
There you go. But a couple other recruiting things, Bob, that you mentioned before the show. There was apparently a new quarterback recruit who's been a
key
quarterback commit.
I can't think of his name off the top of my head. I'm sorry about that. You put me on the spot. You didn't tell me he was going to do it. He's a two-star quarterback, wide receiver, dual threat quarterback. No one knows what he's going to play. I think they're kind of panicking, but it doesn't look like Trey Burton's a quarterback of the future, judging by like what I've heard and kind of what I've seen, and neither is Jordan Reed. So currently you have John Brantley and
question mark
Chaz Henry as your quarterbacks. So the quarterback position doesn't look too stable for the future. They need to get someone in who can be a quarterback and at a high level in college. And I don't think Trey Burton's that guy. He'll probably make a move over to a tight end as well. Right next to Jordan Reed, they'll battle it out.
But, second tight end.
Yeah. But
third tight end, Ronald Powell will be the second.
You and your Ronald Powell. And then one of the this is good news for Trey Burton, though. One of the tight ends, Michael McFarland, has apparently decided to gray shirt, which basically means he doesn't take up a scholarship next year. He's going to instead, he enrolls in some community college and then enrolls at UF in January. And that's when his 5 year, I mean, you get 5 years to play 4 years, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's when his 5 years begins. So he will have another, 5 years to play. So he could, he can sit out the first year he's actually at UF and then play 4 years. So technically 6 years after high school, he could be graduating as a senior. It's really confusing.
He's
it's
on
not
the,
fun.
Take Casey.
I was just about to say take Casey. Oh, man. That
apparently, he said it's not because of grades. That's often what it comes down to. He said he wants to put on bulk, but I guess he's listed at 230. And you can easily, from now until the start of fall, you can easily put on 15, 20 pounds and not be undersized for a tight end. So the putting on bulk thing's kind of not believable unless he's much, much smaller than what he's listed as, which, I mean, it's possible. But I'm not saying that it's Graves, but it's a common theme for
gray
shirts.
Yeah, I couldn't see playing time be a factor to make that decision.
Yeah,
because
no,
like, who do they have at tight end?
Nobody. Yeah. They have Dez Parks. He's exciting. He's not ready, but he's excited.
He's not ready.
He's not ready to play.
Does he still look like a deer in the headlights?
I don't know. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. For his sake.
Yeah, for his sake. Poor guy.
All right, before we move on to basketball, just a quick correction. That quarterback's name, the kid who Bobby says is going to convert to tight end and really be a non-factor anyway, his name is Tyler Murphy.
Don't bother learning.
Go ahead and write that one down in pencil. Brief, very lightly. So let's move on, talk about some Florida basketball. I've spent the better part of my week driving to and from Florida basketball games. At one point, I realized I had driven more in a three-day span than I had slept. So that was good times going on the way to Arkansas. But I got treated to a fairly good game out there in Fayetteville. Florida came out with a 71-66 win.
Wait, you said that. It's like they played the game just for you. I mean, like, Adam's here.
I drove 32 hours round trip. I expect a show. I expect to be entertained. Irving Walker did his best for me. He knew. He's like, us little guys, we got to stick together. So Irving Walker went out and was perfect in the first half. Really strong game from him. Ended up with 27, career high 27 points. Great game for him. After the game, I asked Kenny Boynton what he thought of Irv in the first half, because everybody else was playing poorly in the first half, very poorly, shooting bad, couldn't get anything going. Irv completely carried that team. I asked Kenny Boynton what he thought of it, and he lets out a long exhale, and he just goes, "I think Irv was the first half for us," and that really said all you needed to know about that game, is that Irv was great, and then the rest of the team picked it up a little bit as the rest of the game went on. But Arkansas, Mike Washington, their center, who you guys talked about on the show before, he got into foul trouble, sort of became a non-factor, which allowed Alex Tyson and Vernon Macklin to have a little more leeway down low. So, I don't know, it was impressive that they came out with it. The game was tied with less than 3 minutes left, and they showed a little bit of maturity on the road, which was something else you guys said they needed to do, came out with the win. So, I thought that was a pretty good win for them. Arkansas, not a great team, but good enough. What do you guys think? A lot of opinions on the Arkansas game?
I don't remember saying that they needed to show maturity on the road.
Well, you guys said they needed to win on the road.
Okay.
It may have been me and Phil.
Oh.
I kind of sometimes just go off in my own little world at times when you guys talk. But
thanks, Bob.
I don't know. It's impressive. They need to do a lot more work in SEC games in order to live up to my preseason expectations.
They're well on their way.
Yeah, they just, what is it? They're now 2-2?
3-2.
3-2? Oh, sweet. They just have to go 9-2 the rest of the way. Done. My 12-4 is coming true, guys. They're on their pace.
Just tell me you resend your prediction.
Like I said, I meant it to be 10-6, but I messed up. I'm sticking to 12-4.
You typoed both.
Yeah, I don't know what went wrong between me thinking 10-6 and me writing 12-4, but something happened. Yeah, I stuck to it. It was bold. I'm gonna keep going with it.
You're like, I got this. They're gonna lose to Tennessee and Kentucky, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, no, they won't lose to Tennessee. Write it down, my friend. Mm. Yeah, I actually predicted them to lose Tennessee, but oh well. They're now beating Tennessee both times.
All right,
Kyle.
Now, we said nothing about the two games this weekend. Kyle,
what did you think of the Arkansas game?
I didn't get to watch the Arkansas game, of course, but obviously Irv continued his streak of dominance in conference play.
Yeah,
he's really shooting the ball great and kind of put the team on his back. I listened to it on the radio a little bit towards the end. I don't know why. I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was coming home from class.
Thursday. Yeah,
I got that late class. I was kind of falling in on my phone. I listened to it on the radio on the way home.
Were you following my Twitter post from the game?
I was not. Sorry. Rodney Clark hit a couple threes late, right? To bring them back in.
Yeah.
So,
I was surprised by how good of a shooter he was. But Courtney Fortson didn't really get anything going.
Did he have an undershirt? Rodney Clark. This is important.
No. I was taking a little bit of that. I think he had one of, like, the short sleeve undershirts. There was an undershirt involved, but not a full. I wanted a long sleeve.
Yeah, long sleeve is important.
Yeah. You said Irv shooting hot in the conference. Just how hot he's shooting. He's shooting 61% from three. He's 19 of 31 and 47% from the field, 91% from the line, and he's leading the team at free throws. Really, really, really a great start.
Absolutely.
I think we all expected Kenny Boynton to be a little bit more impressive once the season got rolling, probably the better guard in the backcourt, but so far it's been Walker averaging 18.8 points in conference play. Boynton's averaging 17.4. Obviously, nothing to sneeze at on his, you know, on his own, but Walker's been impressive. He's really carried the team on his back, leading the team, tied for the lead in minutes in SEC play, 33.6. They've got to find a way to bring that down.
Kenny Boynton's really been a good example of how crappy high school like scouting can be, because he had this reputation as, like, lights-out shooter and, like, great offensive threat, and, you know, didn't know what you were going to get from him on defense, but, like, really, he's, like, a great defender. Yeah. Like, shows up every night on defense, and then, like, mediocre offensively, so I don't know. I think maybe he'll come around eventually, but we keep saying that. It's 20 games into the season, so
yeah.
At this point, I would try to scale back the three-point shots for him. But yeah, as far as the minutes go, I mean, they need a pulse from Ray Shipman. They need Ray Shipman's dead body to go out there and contribute some minutes here and there.
You asked about that at media today, right? Did you get any decent answer?
No, absolutely not. I didn't ask Billy because I didn't need a 2-minute answer on it necessarily. But I just asked Irv, and Irv was like, I think Ray should just keep doing whatever Coach Donovan tells him to do. Yeah,
Irv's the company man. You know that.
Yeah, Irv's going to give you the company line. But Shipman's played. He played 11 minutes against Arkansas and 12 against South Carolina. They need more out of him. They have two people in the backcourt.
They need him to play 20 minutes again.
Yeah, they need him to play. Dan Werner played 27 minutes against South Carolina. Dan Werner, who, by the way, is out of the starting lineup.
The catalyst for the buzzer-beating shot.
That's true. He made such a heady play, such a smart play. That was described as a heady play at least 4 times. The Dan Werner, he ripped the ball down from the net and got the ball into Irv. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Let's talk about the South Carolina game, I guess. It was another last-second clutch shot from Chandler Parsons. This one, actually, I would credit as being more clutch than his 75-footer against NC State. Devin Downey seemingly made a game-winning layup with 5 seconds left. Dan Werner ripped the ball down from the net, got the ball to Irv. Irv took it the length of the court down to the free-throw line and found a disgustingly wide-open Chandler Parsons for a game-winning three. Beat the buzzer. Florida got the 58-56 win. Kyle, you were there for that one.
I was.
Your thoughts?
They dogpiled right in front of us.
Yeah.
Actually, I could have touched the dogpile. The game was pretty poorly played the entire time.
Yeah, it was.
And then the last couple minutes were, like, extremely exciting and very, like, back and forth. Devin Downey made a couple huge shots, a fall away that we thought might have been the final basket. When Kenny Boynton gets fouled on a three-pointer, hits all three. Downey comes back down, beats the whole team off the dribble, makes a layup, seemingly the last shot, and then Chandler Parsons is the buzzer beater. So great finish to a 58-56 high-scoring affair.
Yeah, really a boring game to start off. At the end of the first half, it was 25-25. I was like, well, this is the NC State game all over again. As it turned out, it was another... Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Another Chandler Parsons buzzer beater. Not overtime this time, but still quite the game. Devin Downey scored 36 points.
He's awesome.
That's the most points anybody scored against Florida in a very long time. I don't have the specific number, but it's been years since anybody scored that many points. Very impressive game for Downey. It was at the point where I think Florida realized, like, he's going to get his. Let's just stop everybody else. And they did a good job of that because only 4 other people on South Carolina scored, and the highest scoring of those was Sam Muldrow, who had 6 points. The other guys had 5, 5, and 4. So Florida's defense effective on everybody but Devin Downey because you can't stop Devin Downey. You don't have to contain him. And they didn't really do that either, but they got the win.
He's so impressive for a 5'10" guy. Like, he really does everything well. He goes into the lane and finishes, and their offense is just completely dependent on him. Yeah. South Carolina only had 4 assists as a team, which is ridiculous. That means they're just giving him the ball, and he's just going and doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's bringing the ball up the court and scoring in some way. In a way, though, he does some things that I think we'd like to see Kenny Boynton do in terms of getting into the lane, maybe posting up smaller guards, turning around, doing some interesting stuff.
But his first shot of the game, he took Urban Walker on the block, abused it. He just went to work and hit a nice fadeaway from, 15 feet out. And it just seemed so, like, that was, like, the first sign, like, okay, this kid's game's totally complete. Like, he's a small guard, but he had an even smaller guard on him. He took him down to the block and went to work. That's what you should do. And you don't really see a lot of college players show that kind of versatility yet. Yeah. So,
all right, so what do you guys take from these games? They're on a 3-game win streak now in the conference. Do you take anything from the team? Has it turned it around a little bit? Or the bad loss is just a thing of the past? Is the team matured?
I mean, I think they still need somewhat of an inside game. You can't rely on, I mean, especially since Kenny Boynton's just been, just okay these last few games shooting, and it's all been on Irv to hit the big shots.
When it's not on Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, when it's not on Chandler Parsons, hit make one shot. They just need someone scoring down low, something to take a little bit of pressure off of them, because the last few years they've lived by the three as well, and occasionally they've died by the three, just because if you don't have it going that one game, then they had no scoring. So they need some way to get scoring besides the outside shooting.
Yeah, the funny thing is we talk about their three-point shooters, and usually you think of it as being 4 people, Walker, Boynton, Parsons, and Werner, just because he takes shots. But Parsons and Werner have taken 11 threes each, while Walker's taken 31 and Boynton's taken 44. Yeah. That's not spread out. That's just two guys shooting every time. Yeah. But you talk about inside. Alex Tyus has been fairly impressive in SEC play, I thought. He shot 49%, which is good, given all the 17-foot jumpers he's taken, which is everyone he gets a chance to take. I don't know.
He wants to prove that he can be that small forward.
Yeah, he's getting 8 rebounds a game, which is something he didn't do early in the year. He's shown a little bit more hustle than I thought he had in him because I didn't think he cared that much on the glass. Maybe it's out of selfish motivation to realize he needs to get his stats up, but him and Parsons have been rebounding better. They out-rebounded Arkansas, which was huge for them. So, I don't know. I think things are turning around a little bit.
Yeah, back to your previous question, what Bob was saying about, you know, have they turned it around or matured or whatever. I'm definitely not one to overreact. I didn't really care when they were 0-2. I don't really care that they're 3-2 now. It's like they've still kind of shown to be the team that approximately where we thought they were. So
they're exactly who we thought they were.
Yeah, you shouldn't just like, you know, 2 games isn't a big deal. You shouldn't really freak out over that. So now they've won 3 in a row.
Especially
it's
going
to be a fight through conference season. We all thought they'd finish probably somewhere around 500, except for Bob. Yeah. But,
yeah. 12-4. Watch it happen, boys.
So we'll see what happens. But I think more so than even just establishing, you know, somebody who can score inside, they just need to get easy baskets somehow. Mm-hmm. And, like, that means getting out in transition a little more or being more creative on offense. I don't really know. There are different ways to get easy baskets, but they need to figure it out. Something I was really impressed with Kentucky with, and I really don't think Gillespie is a good coach, but Calipari is a good coach, but I'll give him this one. All his inbounds plays were really, really good.
Yeah.
Whenever Kentucky was inbounding the ball, like on, you know, Florida side of the court, they were getting such easy chances for Patterson or for Wall or whoever. They would just, you know, one pass, two passes, a couple screens, and they had the look in 2 seconds there. And I feel like Florida never gets any look off an inbounds play.
No, yeah, they just do the hail. They do the Hail Mary.
They throw it into the backcourt.
Yeah.
Because whatever play they work, never, or whatever play they call, never works.
Yeah.
So I think that's in way it's something they should work on to try to get more easy baskets. So they need to just come up with different ways to do that.
I agree. Set plays would help them out a lot because as it is now, it's like Dan Warner, Chandler Parsons takes the ball into the hoop, freaks out when nobody's open, and just Hail Marys the ball to Irving Walker or Kenny Boyden, who's like at the other free throw line.
Right, exactly.
It's like you're not scoring out of that. You're not getting anything.
Yeah, you're just resetting.
Whereas what Kentucky did so well was getting those alley-oops and just the set plays for like a guy comes off screen for a wide-open layup. Florida's not doing that. They need ways to just set up the ball to score and run the offense. I don't know. Just stop relying on threes or Alex Tyus mid-range jumpers and then Vernon Macklin put back dunks.
I mean, I agree.
Because that hook shot, I've lost faith.
I agree with Kyle. Like, the panic was kind of just like, I don't know, it was a little like early for it. I mean, I think the big reason was that it was coming off the Richmond-South Alabama losses, you know. So they expected, you know, then they struggle in the first. I wouldn't even say struggle in the first 2 SEC games because one of them was a loss to the best team in the country
number,
right now,
the
and a
unanimous
close
number
loss.
One team in the country.
So
right now.
I mean, you can't really say they struggled in early on in the SEC. They were just they're not as good as one team, and the other game they probably should have played better in. But I mean,
Vanderbilt's a top 25
well, yeah,
team.
They, like, I mean, yeah, but it's another good team. But they should, like, if they're what team they want to be and what we kind of expect them to be, they have to be playing Vanderbilt closer.
I agree. Yeah. But it's like, I think I may have said this on another show, but it's like, it was the schedule that sort of started that off. You play the number one team in the country, and you play a good team on the road for your first conference game.
Right. You can go 0-2 there. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
like, that's excusable. If you scatter those games throughout the conference and they lose them, it's not really a big deal.
But I actually do think the Georgia game on Wednesday is sort of important just because you've got to win those type of games. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's saying, like, Georgia's pretty good, whatever. Georgia's really not that good
no.
in the scheme of things. At best, they're an inconsistently good team. So when you get them at your place, that's a game you have to win. Like, this was kind of their demise in the last 2 years of why they didn't make a tournament. It's because they would drop games that they shouldn't have lost. They'd drop a game to South Carolina that they had won on the road. Or I went to the Georgia game last year where they lost that game and they never should have, you know?
Right.
So there's just games that you need to pencil in as wins, and if you want to be a dependable tournament team, you got to win those games.
Yeah, and one would be against the Georgia team that is 9-8 and 1-3 in the SEC, and their one win came that shock against Tennessee, which I thought that was more of a flash in the pan. I don't think they're that good. Of course, Billy Donovan's always going to build up whatever team he's playing. I saw him do it with Arkansas, and I was a little let down from that.
Just as a coach, you have to do
that. Yeah.
You can never say, like, oh, this team sucks. We're going to win.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that as a coach. One, you don't want that kind of mentality for your players. And two, like, you'll be hated in the coaching community if you just go around and be like, well, this team, they suck. Mark them off. I mean, Urban tried to build up Charleston Southern at one point. It was a joke.
You.
I mean, he tries to build them up, but it's just coach talk.
But the funny thing,
you know, deep down, they're like, if we don't win this game,
yeah,
you guys are running the rest. Like, as soon as the game's over, you guys are running.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because he did it the same way, literally the exact same way that he did it with Arkansas. I was like, I think Georgia is a team that is better than its record indicates. And I was like, yeah, I ran that quote somewhere. It's just that Arkansas is a better team than its record. And then he goes over their last three games, and no matter what happened, he makes it sound good. Right. Like, a really close loss to Mississippi State. It's like, all right. It's like, and then they beat Tennessee, and I was like, oh, yeah, that is impressive. But then the other ones, like, don't really.
They had a chance to beat this team.
Yeah, they were in the game.
Urban's was good because it changed as the season went on. Like, when they played Kentucky early on, there hadn't been, you know, obviously there haven't been too many conference games yet. So he said, Kentucky's one of those teams I can see, you know, being in, like, contention to win the SEC East.
Yeah.
Because, well, no games had been played, so everyone was in contention at that time.
Yeah,
then
say,
as the season went on, like, when they started playing South Carolina and their record had dropped a little bit, it was, this team's much better than their record, like, shows. It was just kind of, as the season progressed early on, it was, this team could be in, like, title contention, and as it went on, it was, they're better than the record. It's just funny how they do it, but.
You just pulled them out of a hat.
Like
you
I
had
said,
one each week.
Yeah, you'll be hated in the coaching community really fast.
Yeah. One other thing I want to talk about, Chandler Parsons has seemingly moved his way into the starting lineup for good. He started the last three, supposedly because of Dan Werner's illness, which he actually was recovering from. He lost a little bit, lost some weight and everything. He's still a little fatigued, but also because Chandler Parsons is a better basketball player in seemingly every way than Dan Werner. So I think this move was a long time coming, but I don't know. It's a move I like for Parsons. I think he's played well starting. The only thing you have to worry about with him is getting a little overconfident, which is certainly something you have to worry about with all this stuff coming into play at the same time. I don't know. That's something to watch out for. But
Chandler Parsons at the height of his powers right now.
He really is. He's on top of the world.
He can walk down the street and probably high-five any guy he wants and kiss any girl he wants at this point in Gainesville. So everybody just loves Chandler Parsons. He's living the dream. He can do no wrong. Everything he touches turns to gold. So
of course he's in the starting lineup. Of course it's right now that, like, it's on the notes. It's official that he is projected to start instead of Dan Werner. But I think this is the move they stay with, unless somebody gets hurt. I don't see Dan Werner coming back. Dan Werner's, it's like you said, Kyle, the ultimate zero-sum player now. He comes off and he doesn't really hurt your team, but he doesn't help your team either.
Right. He's just totally indifferent.
Yeah, he's there. But I don't know. What do you approve of the move?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? I mean, it makes your... The thing is, like, in college and on a team running a short rotation like Florida does, there's no such thing as, like, a second team. Yeah. So you don't need to, like, save a Chandler Parsons off the bench to, like, score points for the second team. Like,
yeah.
There is no second team. Like, you know, you're going to play Walker and Boynton the whole game, and then you're going to have five other guys that play, you know, 30 minutes a game or something, or 28 minutes a game. So there's no, like, saving them. Like, just get them out there for as many minutes as you can and... Putting him in the starting lineups makes sense to me. So.
Yeah.
It's somewhat confusing. I don't know. It's just, I don't know what it says about Billy Donovan exactly, but it takes something, like, he needed an excuse to put Chandler Parsons in the starting lineup. Like, this move probably should have came much earlier than it did.
Yeah, like,
but
the
it was like,
season.
Oh, look, he's
like, 3 years ago, Chandler Parsons' first game.
Like, Dan Werner's sick. Well, I guess we have to start Chandler Parsons. And it's like, Well, we might as well just leave him in the starting lineup now.
I mean,
like,
they've won the last three, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, make the change based on, like, you know,
skill.
Based on skill, based on, like,
production.
What that person has to offer for you in the starting lineup. Not because, like, someone's sick and, well, we might as well just leave him in at this point. It's been working. Two games.
He loves Dan Werner. He always has. Can't make a good decision regarding kid.
No.
Never has.
No, he's biased.
Started with Jonathan Mitchell.
Oh, right? Man.
Jonathan Mitchell should have been getting Dan Werner's minutes when they were freshmen. He didn't. He never developed. Never got any confidence.
I'd say he's developed now at Rutgers.
And now look at him. He's
on
42% clips, scoring 10 points a game for Rutgers.
He's unfortunately now the
scored 10.
Third best. Yeah. He's unfortunately now the second best player now that my boy Greg, whatever
he
says, bolted in the middle of the season.
That's never good in basketball.
You just get out in the middle of the season.
Mike Rosario's still there. Let's go.
Yeah, he's still playing well. I got the chance to see Mike Rosario earlier in the year. Yeah. Not really that impressed, Bob.
Yeah, he's a baller. You shut your mouth.
But yeah, I just think Parsons fits so much better with the team, especially he's not taking your advice that you gave on the other show of starting Eric Murphy in place of Vernon Macklin and putting the Macklin-Parsons Shipman second team. Which Eric Murphy's become something of a non-factor in recent games just because he's a little turnover prone. He's a freshman. I don't know. You can't play him serious minutes, which means you still see a lot of Alex Tice at the center, everything like that. And I think Parsons just fits better with that team. So I approve of the move. It's something that's going to stay.
This is Adam Berry approved.
I'm Adam Berry, and I approve this message. Yeah. All right. Well, since we've got really nothing else to talk about, And
I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
We're going to play the game? Except we just made up 2 minutes, like 10 minutes ago?
Except when I did lie to you at the beginning of the show and I said we had a lot to talk about. But if you include this, we did. Since I have the Florida basketball pregame notes in my hands, and I love these, I read these like a book, we're going to play a little game called Name That Gator.
I wish we had buzzers. How are you going to buzz in? Do we get a buzz in or do we just get a yell?
I think we alternate. Yeah. You get a chance to steal. Yeah. The okay. Person misses. Yeah.
I just wish we had buzzers. It'd be a lot more fun with buzzers. All right.
I don't want to do anything with buzzers with you, Bob. It's going to get out of hand real quick. You're probably going to break yours. There's no way that can end well.
All right. So I'm going to read the first sentence from each player's bio. And these two, as well as you at home, get to guess which player I'm talking about.
You get the pleasure of guessing.
You're not going in alphabetical order. You're going to flip pages around, are you? Because if you go in alphabetical order, it's going to be way too easy.
What do you take me for, Bob?
A fool. That's what I take you for, Dale. Right,
of course I'm not going in alphabetical order. All right, here we go. Starting
who goes
with
first?
This one.
Adam Allen.
Starting with Kyle.
All right.
This player, quote, exudes versatility as both a forward and a guard, and is among the Gators' most athletic players. Right. Solid length and ability to defend the perimeter.
I got this one.
All right, I'll end there, because the next one would have given it away.
Ray Shipman.
Ooh, correct.
Ah,
nice. What was the giveaway there? Because Ray Shipman never plays forward. I feel like he's always a guard.
I don't know, he's 6'4", 6'5", whatever.
6'5", yeah, he's actually 6'3", 6'4". All right, the next one.
It's 1-0. Yeah, Bob hasn't got to give him yet. I want to get the score out there.
He's going to give me...
This one's going to be too easy, just because this is how we talk about this guy. Athletic low-post player with a high basketball IQ who adds size to the Gators' front line.
Oh, that's got to be Eric Murphy.
Correct.
Athletic?
High basketball IQ.
High basketball IQ. Really
you just said high basketball and stopped, because once you said IQ, you just told me the answer.
1-1.
All right, this one's an easy one for you, Kyle, but I think it's worth it just for the laugh factor. Showed the potential to become one of the dominant big men in the SEC with his size, shot-blocking ability, and offensive capabilities.
Alex Tyus?
I speak, of course, of Kenny Cagey.
Wait, I got to steal! I got a chance to steal! Come on!
Barry,
I could be up 2-1 with a chance to go up 3-1. This is ridiculous.
I don't even care. The fact that Kenny Cagey is described that way was worth ruining the game
That's
for.
Outrageous.
When did he show that potential? Does it mention when he showed that potential?
No, but it also says he has a soft touch around the basket. I think they meant to just say soft around the basket. But no, it does not. But I remember at one point last year, one of our own, Phil possibly, wrote a column about Kenny Cagey being the X factor for last year's Florida basketball team.
Can we stop claiming Phil as one of our own?
No.
It makes us all look bad.
All right.
Or good by comparison.
All right, Bobby.
Yes.
A versatile forward who can play either spot depending on whether the Gators are going bigger or smaller.
I'm going to go Dan Werner.
Kyle, chance to steal.
Oh, you get to give him a chance to steal now.
I'm kidding.
I can't get a chance. All
right, that one's no chance to steal for either, buddy.
Chandler?
Adam Allen.
Oh.
I'm just going through the injury list at this point and going to see what you guys got.
Did you happen to see Adam Allen for the dog?
Yeah, pile? That was actually I thought that was like a very touching moment. He hobbled over.
Yeah, I thought he was
going to
fall
pile.
Over before
well,
he got there.
Him and Chandler are very close. Of course, he was excited for his boy to get the shot, so he hobbled over, still dealing with that knee injury, and got in on the dog pile. I didn't see Kenny Cagey anywhere nearby, but I'm assuming he made the trip over in front of us. All right. A versatile forward who can play the small or power forward positions depending on the lineup the Gators
what?
Employ.
Did we just have this description?
Nope.
I'm
going to say...
He is capable of giving the Gators
Wait,
a threat
keep going?
To stretch defenses what? On the perimeter. I mean, that could be anybody.
Chandler Parsons.
That's Dan Werner at this point. Yeah. It was the exact same description. This is unfair. I was right with the first person.
And see, the funny thing to me, and this is why the game is a little bit fun to me, is that when people who've never covered Florida basketball before get on my first game and like they pick up a copy of the notes and they're like, oh, who's this Werner guy? And they're like,
oh, wow, he's great.
Wow, he's capable of stretching defenses on the perimeter. And Dan Werner's 2-for-11 in conference play from 3. All right, how much time we got? We got time for a couple more?
Yeah, of course
we do.
Wait.
Oh, that one's... Nah, I can't do that one. We're giving it away. Some of these are too obvious. All right, this one's a gimme. A talented swingman with range who is a perfect fit for Florida's up-tempo style of play.
Is it a 6'9" swingman who can shoot the three?
It is, in fact. That would
Chandler
be
Parsons.
Correct. He also has underrated passing skills for someone 6'9". Solid in transition and gets up and down the floor fluidly.
Do 6'9" guys have the, like... is there like a rumor out there that like 6'9" people can pass?
I want to say Magic Johnson was 6'9", right?
How are you? I mean, bigger players don't usually pass or handle the ball as well.
So. Also, Chandler Parsons underrating passing skills. He has 41 assists and 35 turnovers on the year.
Impressive.
All right, let's see what we can do here.
So I'm up, what, 3-2 at this point?
No, but you're up 1.
Yeah, I'll take the
might be only 2-1.
All right,
I don't care. We're not doing so well.
We got a sharpshooting guard who can penetrate and break down defenses.
That's it?
Enjoy.
Irvin Walker.
Correct.
Great.
Oh, man. I was going to go with Kyle McClanahan.
See, those are the ones that give it away is the problem. I feel like I'm running.
I got to finish it. You can't finish with Kyle, otherwise this is...
I really should. All right, here we go.
This is for the win? Just you can say right now. This is for the win.
Sure, if it's sure, for the win.
There we go.
All right. A highly competitive, athletic guard who can play either backcourt position. A tough defender who brings height and quickness to the Gators' backcourt.
Height and quickness.
Height and quickness. I really should have started with this one. Because it wouldn't have been Irvin Walker.
I want to say Cam Boyne because that kind of makes sense. But I feel as though that's...
Bob likes to cheat. He likes to float.
I'm
going to
go... I'm going to say randomly, it's Rod Tishman.
Kenny Boyne.
You ever thought it. I wish that was Rod Tishman.
I know.
Rod Tishman is a late boost for the Florida backcourt after being recruited late in the summer after an impressive showing at the European Under-18 Championships.
This is Israeli point guard.
6'6" Israeli. 6'6" Israeli point guard.
Oh, man, Hudson Frick would have been a good choice.
All right, so that killed a sufficient amount of time. I think we're good with that. But, yeah, that's always fun to do. If you ever get really super bored and want to do this for other sports, too. I don't know. Do they do this for football for some of the players?
Yeah.
I hope so.
They're very fun to read, very interesting to get the description of them, and you get to see what we read every time we go through these notes. That was a fun little game, I think, right?
I had a great time.
Yeah, listeners, send any feedback on that. We're interested.
I'm sure it's so interesting.
Send your records.
Any sport you want. If you want a different sport, we'll do a different sport.
Oh, yeah.
Tennis, swimming, any of it.
Yeah, track and field.
Oh, done.
All right, and for those of you who are still listening out there, let's give out our weekly awards, our Reggie Nelson Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport and Kyle Jackson Bad Angles of the Week. You out there can give them to their Kyles to us for that game we just played if you so desire. But I'll start with my Reggie. I'm going to give it, since I just got back from a whopping 32-hour round trip in 3 days to horrible, horrible Fayetteville, Arkansas. Not really. Fayetteville's not that bad, just the state of Arkansas is. And even to my Toyota Echo. I hated on it last time. Bobby, you were there for when we gave out that award.
I was a little surprised at that.
Yeah, I said it was going to tear my ACL. I maneuvered a little bit, and I figured out a more comfortable driving position. You got to give it up to any car that can make it, any poorly built car that is no longer in existence because it was so just such a bad idea, that can make it to Fayetteville and back 3 days, a 2,000-mile trip without breaking down and on about $130 gas.
I mean, our sports budget surely appreciates that, especially since you're trying to go to every single road game.
Not trying. I'm going.
All right. Well, since he's going to go to every single basketball game this year, we don't have much of a budget, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Go for it.
Arkansas is the worst.
We're getting to that.
I mean, there's certain cities that you just hear the name and it just doesn't sound good. Fayetteville is one of them. Starkville is my number one. Like, I don't want to go anywhere named Starkville.
I've been to nothing but Vills.
Yeah.
Going to Nashville. So
Nashville is nice.
I love Nashville.
Even Nashville doesn't have that sound. But Fayetteville, no. No, thank you. I'll stay away from it.
Fayetteville.
There we go. You name it something like that.
You just offended so
many. I know.
Pleasant City or something like that? Name it something nice. I don't know.
Pleasant City.
Yeah. Fayetteville, who's Fayette? I want to know that. What's sure. Fayette? Do you know?
No, I don't, Bob.
Find out for me.
All right. Well, Bob made his point.
Kyle, all right. Go. Get the pressure off.
I should have looked this woman's name up before we started this. Is it Kelly Kulik? You know who I'm talking about. The bowler.
No, I don't. I mean, I know who you're talking about. I don't know her name.
Give me a Google search. Yeah, well, I ran on this. I will. Yeah. Anyway, she recently won the PBA Tour Tournament of Champions, becoming the first woman to win a title on the PBA Tour, and it just so happens she won a major. So I was very impressed with her. Her last name should be K-U-L-I-C-K. I'm nearly 100% sure on that one. Who is it?
Yeah, can we get Kelly Kulik.
Got it.
Boom.
See, I'm right. I'm always right. Anyway, She became the first woman to win. I was very impressed watching her bowl. And it's kind of cool because bowling's definitely the one sport, maybe, or one of the few sports where women and men really can compete equally. Like, I don't really see a need to have a separate tour for each of them on bowling. They can pretty much do the same exact things. So it was cool to kind of see, you know, her compete and do well. So
good for her.
Good for you, Kelly. Cool. You get my Reggie Nelson.
Yeah.
My Reggie's going to go to short guards. You know, often as a young lad,
as a fellow short person,
it's, you know, you always kind of think there's only so many things you can do in life. Mainly not being an athlete. You can't do that.
Top shelf.
It was unfortunate. The other day, there was something up on the top shelf. I had to step up on a little ledge and get it.
Try without a foam boat.
Yeah, I know. But Irv and Devin Downey really have proven that short guards can play. Hopefully, one of them can make it at the next level and kind of continue that success.
Little guys, big hearts, bigger shots.
Oh, that's a headline.
Yeah.
That's a headline waiting to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, though. I like that. Do you think either one has... Do you think Irv has any sort of chance to go?
No, unfortunately not.
So small?
Devin Downey might. He has a better chance than Irv.
He has a more all-around game.
Good.
Yeah.
Agreed. Devin Downey might. As much as I love Irv Walker.
Yeah, it's a shame to hear. But
I mean, if people keep believing that he's 5'8", 5'9", maybe, but since he's really my height at 5'6", there's no shot.
All right. I will give my Kyle, a vitriolic Kyle... the state of Arkansas. I've now driven through the state of Arkansas twice in my life. Once Kyle and I did on the way to Oklahoma City, and we drove the whole way through. And I've said it then, and I'll say it again, the best part about driving through Arkansas, there's two parts. The first one, when you come in, because you're crossing the Mississippi River, which is just as beautiful the second time, except for the fact that I still can't take a good picture of it because of the rails. Mm-hmm. And the second time, the second best part about Arkansas, is when you leave Arkansas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but there's something about the state of Arkansas that I don't like it.
I say we roll with 49 states. 50's too many as it is. Make it a penal colony. Let's do it.
Talk about offending people.
I don't care. If you live in Arkansas and you're listening to this, I dare you to defend it.
Hmm.
Write in some good things about Arkansas, because I don't know any.
Yeah, I stayed in Little Rock.
It's a good thing no one in Arkansas has computers, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right.
You said no races. I'll be so intelligent to people in Arkansas. You're welcome, Dale.
That's great. That's the thing is that I don't hate the South. Don't get me wrong here. Like, I lived in Tennessee. I love Tennessee. I actually came out of this trip with a newfound respect for Alabama. Yeah, I went there.
Birmingham's great.
Yeah, Birmingham.
I love Hoover. I had a great time in Hoover.
I thought Alabama was a very scenic trip.
It was much better than staying in Starkville.
It was nice. So, but something about Arkansas. It's very long. The drive is very long. It's just I-40, just straight.
There's nothing.
Little Rock is the cultural mecca of Arkansas, and there's not a whole lot going on in Little Rock.
It's the worst.
I have a really bad feeling as punishment for all of this, all three of us are going to somehow end up in Arkansas, like living there and working. It's not...
Working.
Not yeah, no.
Are we all going to do farming?
Yeah,
or
well, no, we'll write for some small newspaper.
Arkansas preps.
Have newspapers there, Bob.
That's even worse than my computer. Computers are expensive, at least. Come on.
No, there's a lot of business in up there near Fayetteville, though, because that's where Walmart is. So, no, I'm serious. That's where, like, Walmart's headquarters is.
You mean the headquarters?
And, no.
And the businesses. There's a Walmart in Fayetteville.
Walmart's corporate, like, hundreds. Headquarters is near there. So, like, all the businesses that want to do business with Walmart... They're up there, like, around there. There were luxury seats on the sideline of Arkansas's arena, which kicked the press up into the baseline rafters because there's so much money near there that they paid a lot of money to sit there. No, this is all 100% fact. It's all true. I wouldn't say it if it weren't true.
Yes, you would.
Except when I said we had a lot to talk about on the show.
We clearly have nothing. We've talked about Arkansas for much longer than anyone ever wants to hear about Arkansas.
All right, so, yeah, that's my problem with Arkansas. I hope to not have to drive west of the Mississippi again, but I said this... What, 6 months ago? And lo and behold, I did it again.
I hope somehow you end up in Arkansas later this season for some random event. I don't know what it will be, but I hope you're there.
Thanks, Bob. Give out your Kyle.
My Kyle's going to go to Herb. Good old Urban Meyer. You tried to trick us in saying that you're going to take a leave of absence, but no one believed you. And you proved us right.
Yeah.
You're not taking a leave of absence. You're letting me down. I kind of wanted to see a Steve Adazio show. Mainly just for laughter.
Like a TV show.
Yeah.
A reality show.
A variety show more than anything. Just him coming out singing and dancing.
So I'm just disappointed that he didn't even somewhat live up to his
Bob, a lie. Will you utter your favorite line in the world about Urban Meyer?
No, oh, Urban Meyer? Liar. Don't believe a word he says.
It's automatic.
It's so appropriate, too, now. You were right, Bob. You were right.
Can we put that back in the intro?
No idea how right
I'm
you
always
were.
For it. Huh, I miss right. it.
We're going to change the intro soon. I'll see what I can do. Kyle? You got a Kyle?
Sure. My Kyle Jackson, going to go to whoever scheduled these NFL games for the conference championship games. 3-640.
Yeah.
3-640. What the heck? I was very upset with the schedule, not starting the games till 3. I could have done 1-4.
Yeah.
I would have been happy with that. Maybe. 640, also a ridiculous time.
Yeah.
You couldn't start me at 8 or so. I don't know. Just give me some time in between to, like, recover a little bit, do something else. But, you know. That's how it went. And I watched both of them.
Yeah, so. I like 1-4 or like 4-late.
Right.
That's how I think you have to do it. The 3 was bad to me because like I got home and I was like, oh, time to watch football.
No football game in the history
Nothing on
of
TV.
The world has ever started at 3 o'clock.
Except for that one.
I don't know how they pulled that off.
Yeah. Some college games started around 3:30.
It's like nope. 10 or something. But not real football.
All right. Well, that'll
be if Rutgers joins the Big Ten and makes it. Some sort of Big 12. I don't know exactly what they call it. Maybe go back to Big North or something. I don't know. It'll be something exciting. I can't wait for it.
All right. Well, what a ridiculous note to end this show on.
That's what I'm all about. Ending on ridiculous notes. Enjoy, right. People.
That does indeed wrap it up for this show. We've had so much to talk about. We got to get out now before my voice is going. I'm going hoarse here from all this stuff we've had to talk about. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. Go easy on us this time. We threw together a show, and hopefully it was entertaining for you. We're doing the best we can. So
he takes this to heart, people.
I do,
like,
I do.
When we put together a show like this, it's almost insulting to him. I'm glad that we gave him 50 minutes of nothing, though. Good
I'd
job,
say
everybody.
It was 50 minutes of relentless effort.
Relentless effort, but they got nothing out of it.
I coasted a little on defense. That's all. I saved my energies for offense.
You Alex Tyus did. All right, well, check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/alligatorsports. Still in the Facebook game, I think. We'll keep doing that.
There is a Facebook. There is a Facebook. We're keeping up with
I want more fans on Facebook because that is a powerful tool when used correctly. And, like, we can get feedback on our wall. People can comment on other people's posts.
It's a pipe dream, Adam.
We can have discussions in the discussion board on each show. Can you imagine such a world?
This is a pipe dream.
That would be incredible. That's all I want. All right? I just drove 32 hours to bring you coverage, listeners, of a game in Arkansas. The least you can do for me is something on Facebook.
All right,
that's my plea.
Sounds good.
Other things you can get to us on Facebook into the email about is questions for our Merry Wives podcast coming up next week. I'm very excited about that show. We obviously have a fair stable of questions to ask her. We'd appreciate any listener feedback
that
stuff you guys are curious
be just
about.
Just like this one, except the exact opposite.
Yeah, very well structured and planned with several topics and, you know, more interesting people than us.
I'm going to have to put on a decent shirt. You're
so concerned about how you're going to look.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just feel as though I can't look, you know, kind of like I am right now. It's going to be exciting. It's National Signing Day. Maybe we'll ask her take on the Gators recruiting class.
Maybe.
What it takes for her to bring in a good recruiting class. That could be good questions.
There's one question I won't ask. What she thinks of the Gators recruiting class for football.
All right, well, I'll ask that question. Don't worry, people.
Did you say
I know
the greatest
what you think.
Recruiting class?
Yep, that's what I said.
Good, you're right.
All right, well,
that wraps it up for this show. Thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry.